Local Matters, the news podcast from the studios of Mountain Express in downtown Asheville. And speaking of downtown Asheville, Christopher George, a freelancer who's done a little bit of work for us, attended the Asheville Downtown Association's Heroes Celebration event Monday night. And here's a word from Christopher.
Hi, this is Christopher George, freelancer with the Mountain Express, and this week I covered the Asheville Downtown Association Downtown Heroes Celebration. This is an award that the Downtown Association was giving to people who were pivotal in the revitalization of downtown through the late 80s, early 90s, and before as well. And the awards were given to Leslie Anderson, Tops for Shoes, and Public Interest Projects. Leslie Anderson was the director of downtown development for Asheville from 86 through 95. She was responsible for bringing a lot of private investment downtown, $16 million in streetscaping and landscaping and public works projects. And one of the people responsible for Belle Chair before Tops for Shoes, that's Bob Carr and Ellen Carr. It's a downtown business that's basically been downtown in one fashion or another since 1952. It began as a general store and gradually morphed into a shoe store. And it, you know, in the middle of the 70s, when everything was moving out of downtown, over to the Asheville Mall, Bob and Ellen Carr stuck around. So, and also Bob Carr was the first director of the, first president of the Asheville Downtown Association. And Public Interest Projects, which was the group that was founded by Julian Price to facilitate downtown redevelopment. They invested over $15 million of equity capital in downtown Asheville and invested in invested money into lots of different local businesses, including Mountain Express. For me personally, the event was very interesting insofar as it was a wonderful retrospective on Asheville's, on downtown Asheville's history and how it's come along and what's happened. One of the things that I didn't know prior to hearing about this event was that the entire north end of downtown was going to be demolished and turned into a mall. It was 11 city blocks was going to be leveled, and that was proposed in the 80s and was narrowly defeated. And so that was a very interesting sort of perspective on how downtown Asheville was versus how it is now.
And now we're joined by Jake Frankel, our other news reporter, who's going to talk to us about Buncombe County commissioners and a little bit of hot water here and there that they've been getting into.
Yeah, the commissioners this week were greeted by about 20 protesters who were rallying outside of the commissioner's chambers, still upset with their travel stipends. As we know, a couple weeks ago, they gave themselves a 50% cut in their travel stipends from $650 biweekly to $325 biweekly. But that wasn't enough for a lot of people who came out to the meeting, and several of them spoke up, demanding the commissioners change that system to a per-mileage reimbursement. Among the people that spoke up, interestingly enough, was Chris Eck, who has announced his intention to replace Chad Nesbitt as the local Republican County Party Chair.
Well, you mentioned that there were protesters outside of the county commissions where they hold their meetings, and including quite a few folks with signs, and there were a few that caught your attention.
Yeah, Margaret. Most of them were wearing stickers, actually, that said, "Enough is enough. Use a mileage log." And it's just a sign that people are just still really outraged from about a month ago when the Asheville Citizen Times reported that the county commissioners were the top paid county commissioners in the state. That really set off a firestorm that still continues to burn, even after the commissioners gave themselves a big pay cut. These people who came to the meeting are just still very unhappy. They're really outraged, and it'll be interesting to see how long this keeps up and see how the commissioners continue to deal with it. At this meeting, they largely just remained silent during the whole public comment speech. As they got lambasted, didn't have much of a public response.
So, well, that's interesting. But they also had some other news that they were dealing with today, some of which is important, even if it's a little bit hard to explain. So the Medicaid waivers, there's a... Explain that a little bit.
Yeah, they what they did is they took action to grant what's called a Medicaid waiver, which would allow the Western Highlands Network, which is a LME, a local management entity, which basically functions as kind of a quasi-government agency. They voted to approve them to manage all of the Medicaid money that would go towards behavioral health services. That includes stuff like mental health, substance abuse, mm-hmm. and disability services. Mandy Stone, the assistant county manager and also director of Buncombe County Department of Social Services, was very careful in her presentation of this to say this will take no more tax dollars. It'll just be a different way to funnel existing federal and state tax dollars. And it also won't enable any new federal entitlement programs. On the plus side of this, what she said, this will bring more local accountability to patients and clients. Previously, the entire state's Medicaid's funding was managed by Value Options, which is a private Virginia-based company. The trend has been more recently that North Carolina government has empowered local management entities in different regions throughout the state to take over those services. This process is part of that. The other counties will have to also pass this for it to take effect, other than Buncombe.
And Western Highlands is based... You mentioned the Virginia firm that had been doing it, and Western Highlands is based where?
In Western North Carolina. I'm not sure what city. But Polk, Yancey, Mitchell, Transylvania, and now Buncombe counties have all approved this, but for it to take effect, Madison, Rutherford, and Henderson counties will also have to follow suit.
You had mentioned earlier to me that it's not actually uncommon for this kind of management approach. It's a little bit outside of government, quasi-governmental, the Medicaid being handled that way.
Yeah, sure. This is a trend that we're seeing throughout the state. This is actually something the state applied for to the federal government to allow these waivers. The federal government granted them, and then the state did a process of different organizations applied, and then Western Highlands Network was found to be the one that is most capable of handling all those Medicaid dollars, which they estimate will be at least $120 million per year, probably more than that, but they're still figuring out some things, of course, with both the federal and the state budget for the next fiscal year.
And who oversees what they're overseeing?
Well, each county is that would be affected by this in Western North Carolina, the county manager is also a member of the Western Highlands Network board. Mm-hmm. In Buncombe, it's actually Mandy Stone, who is the assistant county manager. Mm-hmm. So they will help oversee that. Also, the Buncombe County resolution, which was a little different than some of the other counties' resolutions, required that Western Highlands Network provide detailed financial reports every month to the county, so the county can kind of take a close look and see where the money's going. And a big goal there is to try to make sure that Western Highlands Network doesn't try to save money by cutting services. The resolution that Buncombe County passed requires that no services will be cut to save money.
Interesting. Anything else that the commissioners took up the other evening?
Sure. Another interesting thing that happened was Drew Reisinger was sworn in as Buncombe County's next Register of Deeds. As part of his campaign with the executive committee of the Democratic Party, which voted him to fulfill the remainder of Otto DeBruhl's term after he retired. Otto was the Register of Deeds for 32 years. He had 2 years remaining on his elected term that Drew will now fulfill until the next public election in 2012. As part of Drew's campaign, he pledged to take a 40% pay cut in Otto de Bruyl's salary that he was making when he retired, which was $128,850 a year. At this commissioner's meeting, Human Resources determined that his starting salary would be $78,497. That was a little bit more than what a 40% pay cut would have been. So at the meeting, Drew pledged to provide the remaining $1,187 to the Buncombe County and Asheville City Schools Foundations, which will put kind of help him fulfill his campaign pledge to make 40% less than Otto de Bruyl was
but
making.
But as a new Register of Deeds, he would not have started at what Otto de Bruyl was making.
No. Human Resources kind of studied the situation, and they determined that the proper starting salary for Drew would be $78,497, which again was still a little bit above the 40% pay cut that Drew had said he would take.
Well, good. Well, thank you for joining us, Jay. Until
thank
next
you.
Time. Now we have a special guest, our food writer extraordinaire, Mackenzie Lunsford, who's been on a very interesting venture or adventure for the last few days. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. I am going on sort of a, like you said, a culinary adventure without leaving Asheville. It's been pretty amazing the things that I've been able to come up with. I am presenting nearly a month-long series in the Mountain Express, a guide to the weird foods in Asheville. But sort of
weird foods, like what kind of weird foods? Yeah, I've seen you've been giving some strange photo assignments to our photo editor.
Yeah, I certainly have. Well, I mean, what I'm focusing on is presenting foods that other cultures do eat. So while they may seem weird to us, these are foods with a lot of history. Like, for example, yeah, the photo that you saw was a photo of a beef heart that Brian Canapelli of Kitchena 24 prepared for us to eat. And heart is a source of protein that lots of people eat. In this country, we tend to think of it as, well, a cast-off, but it's very delicious. I also had duck heart so far. I've eaten lamb testicles, which are known as oysters for the sake of looking a little bit better on the menu. But they were a lot more mild than you would imagine. We are moving on to actually the reproductive organs of a codfish tomorrow. I'm trying Scirocco, which is also known as, in other words, it's fish sperm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm eating fish sperm.
I knew you were
going
to say that.
Even the Japanese consider it to be an acquired taste. So I'm a little bit on edge about this particular challenge.
So you haven't had that one yet.
I haven't. That's tomorrow. Mm. The fish sperm is tomorrow. I'm eating that at Zambra, the tapas bar on Walnut. I have gone to Table to talk to the folks there about the entire animals that they get from farmers and how they break them into food, essentially. For anyone who's a chef, this is going to be a very interesting series. It's Bizarre Foods Asheville. But I'm not really going for shock value. I'm going for, to present a learning experience that I've had myself. A lot of these foods are sampled and eaten all over the world. I'm moving on to insects in a few weeks.
Well, we'll stay tuned for that. I'm not quite sure we'll try everything that you're going to try, but we're glad that you're doing it so that we don't have to.
I will pass along my experience.
Well, thank you, Mackenzie, for joining us today.
Thank you.
Look forward to having you again.
Thank you very much.
This has been Local Matters from the Express Studios in downtown Asheville.